Anyway, tonight,
and Brother Jeremy,
let me tell you, you made me scared. When he said, I forgot to bring something tonight, I thought he was going to look over at me and say, but Brother Green will give it to you. And I was going to say, I forgot to bring something too, because I didn't have a thing in my pocket tonight. All right. Tonight, just for a few minutes, I'm going to tell you something, five things about yourself, every one of you in here tonight. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, who does he think he is? Some kind of prophet or what they call him, fortune teller or something? I'm not a fortune teller. I'm like Brother August Van Ryn. You know, I don't believe in the fortune tellers. Brother August Van Ryn, and now I forget. As a young boy, I was sitting listening to him preaching in the chapel, and he was talking about that. He said one time he was walking down the streets of New York, and this lady or fortune teller, whatever you want to call her, came up to him and wanted to read him, tell him his fortune, give him the palm of his hand, you know, to tell him his fortune. And he says, lady, says, I've got two reasons why I don't want you to tell me my fortune or my future. Says, one, I don't want to know my future. Says, because if I did, it'd probably scare me to death. Says, I don't want to know my future. Says, and the second thing is, I don't have that dollar to give you. And I'm going to tell you the other words that he used. But anyway, she was going to tell him that for a dollar. You know, if he give her a dollar, she says, I don't have that dollar to give you. That was his second excuse for it. So I'm not going to tell you your fortune for a dollar or $10 tonight, but I'm going to tell you five things about every single one of us probably, or not probably, about each one of us that is here tonight. Five truths about us all. And I wrote these things down so that I think everybody, when I got this paper today, somebody said, well, I think they'll be able to see that all the way to the back of the church. Five things about us all. I want some of the younger ones to get your Bibles ready, because I'm not going to do the reading tonight. I'm going to kind of let you do some of the reading for me about some of these verses. All right? So if you've got your Bibles, I want you somebody to read Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. Romans 3. Okay. So now that's the first one we got. And I'm going to ask you something. I want you to pay attention as we go through this, because at the end, I'm going to ask you a question. And then I might have to do like Brother Jeremy, visit you to your house. I don't know. But anyway, we'll see. So the first one is what? All sin. That's dead right. That verse that was just read to us says that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3 in chapter 10 also says that none of us is righteous, no, not one. Now, I'm going to ask the girls a question tonight. I want you to look around. Look, there's some nice-looking boys here. You look around at all of these boys and look at them in the face and tell me, do you think it's one of those boys sitting here tonight that has never sinned? Brady, somebody's looking right at you. I don't know why. So what do you think, girls? Do you think it's one boy in here that's never sinned? Huh? Let me hear you. I can't hear you. No, they're saying it easy, but that's true. No, there's not a boy in here tonight that's never sinned. Now, I think some of the boys want me to ask them the same question. So, boys, what do you think? Don't look at these girls. Well, I should tell you, don't look at them into the eyes, because that's where you get in trouble. You have a look at a girl in the eyes and look at her pretty blue eyes or brown eyes. Then you believe every word that they say to you, right? So don't look at the eyes, just look at the face a little bit. Huh? What do you think? Do you think it's one girl in here tonight that's never sinned? Huh? I've got an answer from over here. The boys over here don't think so, even if the ones over here do. That's right. It's not one boy or one girl in this building tonight that has never sinned. What about you, grown-ups? Do you think any of us, men or women, have ever sinned? They're all shaking their head. That's right. We have all sinned. The Bible says whether we're young or old, even from our birth. It starts right at our birth. The deceitfulness is in us, and that is sin itself. We've all sinned, so that brings us under bondage, I guess, if you want to say. And it, And it meant that somebody had to pay the price for our sins so that each one of us might be set free. So we got all have sinned. All right. Now, next verse I want somebody to find is found in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Romans chapter 5. That's right. God commandeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So the next one we're looking at is what? You gotta, huh? We're all, what did that verse say? God commanded what? His love. So we're all, everyone in here, we're all love. That's right. I don't care who you are, the Bible says whether we're red, yellow, black, or white, whether we're good or whether we're bad. God loved us all, and he paid the price for our sins, both our past, our present, and our future. John 3:16, one of the most familiar verses in the Bible. Every child, usually from in their this eye, is taught that verse in Sunday school. What is it? One of you could quote it for me, right? What is it? John 3:16. Right off the top of your head. That's right. For God so loved the world. So that means all of us, all of the sins, every single one, he loved the world. And that means that every single person in this world that will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior can be saved. And it's our choice. So we are all have sinned, and now we are all loved. Another one we're going to find, and the verse I want you to read for me is John chapter 5, and it's two verses there, verse 28 and 29. Damnation, that's right. So the Bible tells us here that every single one of us, something is going to happen to us. You know what it is? We're all going to die, and after that, every one of us is going to be judged. Well, we're all going to be raised. Okay, it says there, every single one of us is going to give an account for ourselves, and we're going to be raised. It says all is going to hear his voice, and we're going to come forth. Every single one that is buried, been buried in the graveyard, if you're buried there, you're going to turn to dust. Well, the dust coming back. If you're buried out at sea, and a lot of people think once they bury them out at sea, maybe some shark will come and eat them up, or a whale or something will swallow them up, and that'll be the end of them. But I got news for you, you're coming back. If a shark eats you, it don't make no difference. Every single one is going to come back, and they're all going to give an account for ourselves, even if you were cremated. There's a lot of people like to be burned up and burnt to hashish, you know, because you say, well, then that's the end of me. Well, you may burn, but you're not going to perish. You'll never, the Bible says that the soul will live on, and that part of us will come back, and we're going to be raised, so that each and every one of us will be judged according to the things that we've done in the flesh. All right? So, we've been raised, and I just gave the next one away, what's going to happen to every single one of us. And you said it just now, we're all what? We're all going to be judged. That's right. Somebody going to read for me Romans chapter 14 and verse 12. Romans chapter 14. All right. Everyone of us is going to give an account of who? Now, that's the word we got to let sink in. Every one of us are going to give an account of himself. We're not going to be able to give an account for our brother or our sister, but we're going to give an account for ourselves. And we're not going to be able to hide behind mommy and daddy. Some may say, well, you know, I try to say to the Lord, well, my mommy was a good woman. You know, she went to prayer meeting every week, and she prayed for people that was lost, and she had preachers into the house to to give them lunch and all of this kind of stuff. So because my mummy did all of these things, then I'm okay too. No. Can't hide behind mummy. We can't hide behind daddy. Whether he was a leader of the church or a preacher that stood behind the pulpit or whatever he did, you're not going to be judged according to what your mummy did. You're not going to be judged according to what your daddy did. You're not going to be judged according to what the church did. That's one of the main excuses for the world today. Well, I'm not saved because I can't follow what them hypocrites do in the church. They're a bunch of fools. They say one thing and they do another. And I've heard it said many times, you know. And, you know, each and every one of us as Christians, we fail the Lord. But I'll tell you what. You can try to use that excuse all you like. You ain't going to be judged for what Grayling did. You ain't going to be judged for what anybody else in this church did. God says you're going to give an account for yourself. And when you stand before the Lord, the only person to blame will be you. Because the opportunity was given to everybody. We read that in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Plain and simple as that. I mean, like they say, it's the gospel in a nutshell, and I agree with it. You can't get away from that. He loved the world, he died for the world, and the world will give an account before God when that day when they're judged for the things that they have done. Now, for the last one, we're going to come to the last one, and every single one of us, the Bible says, is going to do this thing. It's found in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 10. Philippians chapter 2. Okay, so what do you think the last one is? We're all what? Aha, that's right. We're all going to bow. Every single one of us. And that is a beautiful verse, especially to the Christian. And because we won't mind doing that. We won't mind bowing at his feet and acknowledging him as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But the Bible says that there are going to be those that are probably going to find it very difficult to do that. When they stand before God, it's probably going to be a difficult thing for them to just bow their knee and to acknowledge something that for all of their life, maybe if they live 50 years, 60 years on this earth, they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do it, and they had the opportunity to do it, and it was easy for them to do, perhaps, while they're on this earth. Chances many times. I mean, I've sit in this building and other buildings as well, often, many, many times, and heard the word of God preached even in my home. Last Sunday night, I think it was, I was sitting there listening to Brother Head expound the Word of God and to preach the gospel. Many times that you've been convicted, many times you've wanted to bow the knee and you said, maybe I'll do it tonight or maybe tomorrow, maybe a week from now. One of the biggest mistakes that any person makes in this world, you know it better than I know it, is putting things off. Right? Usually when you do it, if you put it off until tomorrow or you put it off until 10 minutes later, you forget about it, and then it's put off a little bit longer than you really expected to put off, and it never gets done. Usually that's what happens. The longer we wait and the more we put it off, sometimes we put it off so long that it's forgotten about and it never gets done. So what I'm saying is, if you're not willing to bow the knee now, the Bible in that verse there plainly states, one of these days, every single person that has ever breathed breath will bow the knee before the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're going to acknowledge and say that he is Lord and he is God of all. Now, I don't know about you, but if I got to make that choice, I think I want to make it now. And I think you should want to make it now. Because now is the time, like the Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. And now is the day of salvation. And now you have the opportunity. The Word of God says if we wait until we're dead or until he comes, then the opportunity is past. I'm a firm believer in that. I believe what the Word of God says. If you die without Christ, or if you're left behind, you will never believe. because the Bible says that God will send a strong delusion that you believe the lie of the devil so that all might be damned. Not a few, but that all might be damned. So if you pass up that opportunity here in this life, you're passed it up forever. And you're still going to bow. So we give you that opportunity tonight. We give you that opportunity just about every single time that we come together as a church. You're given that opportunity to acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And I know many times, maybe some of us here tonight say, well, I have bowed. I bowed the knee. I've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. But, you know, that's not evident in my life right now. But I want to make it evident. You can do that tonight. I don't have to tell you how to do that. You know how to do that. You know how to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Boys and girls, don't forget what we've said tonight. Let's go through them one more time before we close tonight. All of us have sinned. We all sin. The second one, we're all loved. The third one, we're all going to be raised. Everyone. I don't care how we disintegrate. We can disintegrate into nothing. You're still going to be raised. You're coming back. So that every one of us might be judged. And every one of us will bow the knee. And we will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let's pray. Our Father, tonight we truly thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for Him loving us so much that He was willing to pay the awful price of sin. That He was willing to let man take and nail Him to the cross of Calvary. So that there He might shed His precious blood, the blood that would cover our sins and all the sins of the world, as we've said already, the past, present, and the future. And Father, we pray tonight that if there are those here without the Lord Jesus Christ and they've never accepted Him as their personal Savior, we pray that before they leave the meeting tonight, that they will indeed bow their knees, open their hearts, and confess Him as Lord of their lives. Father, we pray too tonight for those that are missing from us. We realize that there are some that are not doing well tonight. We commit each one of these families to Thee, and we pray, Lord, that if it pleases Thee, that You would be with them and just comfort them as You alone can. So we just ask Your blessing now to be upon us, and as we leave the meeting tonight, go with us, take us to our homes in safety as we continue to give You our praise in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you very much. The meeting's over.